Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
On today's show, we have our very special and great-looking, handsome guest.
Not lying.
Bryson Carver from the Carving It Up podcast. We discuss Dak Prescott's contract, CeeDee Lamb's contract, and just how the Dallas Cowboys organization fumbles the ball, dare I say.
But it's also camp, so we got to dive into camp a little bit. And some big headlines from camp. Trey Lance, how is he doing out there? Has he been throwing interceptions or touchdowns? And we also touch on our number one pick from this year, Tyler Our guy, Tin,
woo,
and how that big bastard's doing.
All this and more on today's show.
Crack 'em if you got 'em, son! Boosh, baby!
Woo.
Look at it, it's just us two fine-looking gentlemen. Look at this. Looks like we got rid of someone.
Huh. You know, Guess he had to escape to Disneyland.
Guess he had to go to Disneyland to get his
famcation,
or just to get away from us for a week, maybe.
I think he went down to hang out with Boots.
Yeah, I think he did just go to get hang out with Boots. But hello, welcome to the Can Fan main event on this fine Wednesday night. And guys, I'm going to bring him in right now. He's just waiting in the depths here. We got the man himself, Bryson Carver from the Carving It Up podcast. What is going on, broski? How you doing?
What's up? What's up? How y'all doing tonight?
Great, man. You know what? Just having you here with us, you're the first time person on Zoom when AJ and I are behind the wheel. So be nice with us.
Wow.
But how are you doing, bro?
I'm feeling great, man. I am happy that we are on the doorstep of the football season. Well, we got 5 weeks till opening night.
That's right.
5 weeks. I mean, we are just, it's like the, you know, you can smell the main course as it's coming to your table, but it's not there yet. It is, it's so good to be back with football talk. It's so good.
Well, is the Hall of Fame game tomorrow?
Yeah, it's tomorrow, Chicago and Houston. Yep.
So that's pretty sweet. Like, I know the Hall of Fame game, of course, no one notable is going to play more than likely. Like, I think a couple years ago, Micah Parsons' first year, he played two snaps. But it's just that fact that football is back. It's just that great feeling. All of us diehards. I know you follow a bunch of other sports, such as, every major league sport you essentially follow. We don't necessarily do that, but I'm jealous of you because at least you get a little bit of a fix, but there's no fix like football.
No, there's no fix like football. Listen, I love me some NBA. I love some baseball. But once the NFL and college football especially rolls around, it's just a different type of feeling. Because, listen, it's America's game, but it's obviously Canada's game, too. So, listen, we're going to have some fun tonight. And I'm very excited about this upcoming season for a lot of reasons.
Well, AJ, before we get into anything,
oh, yeah,
what about one of these? Crack them if you got them, son. Oh, that's going to taste crispy. That is going to taste it cracked nice and crispy. So let me get a little sip in here.
It's a good sign.
Get a little sip, me too.
Okay, Bryson, before anything, I wanted, obviously this is a Cowboys podcast show, whatever you want to call it, and the biggest news of the week, and we don't even know if it was news because it wasn't really confirmed by anybody, but the big news was CeeDee Lamb being signed to a new deal, or a new deal was coming. I don't know if, as someone that's not a Cowboys fan, did you see any of this? Like, did you hear the waves of it?
Yeah, so I know y'all have had Defy on the show, right? I think you guys have had Defy.
Yeah, Defy. Defy's been on a couple times for show.
Defy, yeah. So no, I follow him on Instagram. I saw on his, I saw the post it, and he had talked about who the source, where it came from. And the first thing I thought was it was 4 years, $136 million. And the first thing that I saw was realized is, okay, that's less than Justin Jefferson. There's no way CeeDee Lamb agreed to this. I could see a scenario in which that might have been maybe the offer by the Jones family to CeeDee Lamb. But given where the wide receiver market has gone ever since Tyreek signed last year, you've had AJ Brown get the bag. You've had obviously Amon-Ra St. Brown. Now, obviously, Justin Jefferson kind of setting the market. Given how identical CeeDee and Justin Jefferson's numbers have been the last since they both came in the league, you have to imagine CeeDee is going to want to set the market with a new contract. But that was surprising, and that it was. I didn't believe it from the jump, and so it wasn't surprising that it came out that it wasn't true.
Yeah, I kind of we like to make a funny video or like a reel when news drops, and we were kind of itching at it. But we will never as a group post something until the news is signed, sealed, delivered. Like
I'm yours.
I need it in writing, right? I need it in writing. I know a lot of content creators jumped out on it because it's the hot news right now. All of us have been talking about it, but there was no source behind it. That it's like another just mini rumor that got leaked. I prior said that we would see CeeDee Lamb signed August 6th while we were at training camp, and that I think is still on the table.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, you obviously, Stephen Jones talked about how he has sent some offers into CeeDee Lamb's agent, Dak Prescott's agent. I know we'll talk about Dak later. I think CeeDee Lamb's a lot more likely to hit his deal, especially before training camp's done. You want to go and get that ironed out. You want to have your number one receiver locked in, especially before week one in what's going to be a tough game against Cleveland. And especially when you consider, Brandon Ayuk is also holding out in San Francisco, but his value, while it may be there for the Niners, is not what CeeDee Lamb is to Dallas, just given what he did statistically and in terms of the offense. Nothing against Brandon Cooks or any of the guys there, but CeeDee Lamb is arguably the best receiver in football and just holds a different value to Dallas than Brandon Ayuk holds to the Niners. So yeah, I think you're in a situation where you need to get the deal done now. You don't want the holdout to drag into the season, because even if CeeDee Lamb does sign during the season, it's nice to get the training camp reps under him and maybe gets off to a slow start. So August 6th feels like a good target date. That would be awesome if it happens while y'all are down there, but my guess is it happens within the next couple weeks or so and that this gets done.
So do you think, sorry, AJ,
I was going to say, I forgot that last year, Zach Martin signed his, I believe it was August 11th or August 14th. So kind of a few days after what we're hoping, we want it to be when we're actually at the camp there. But, yeah, I mean, there's just something where it's like, I feel more worried about it, but realistically, maybe CeeDee Lamb's just pulling the same type of scheme where he's like, I'm going to miss as much as the first bit of training camp. The miserable part of it where I don't really want to do anything, and then start putting the pressure on as we get closer to the season. But of course, every day counts, getting him out on the field and connecting with Dak Prescott, getting rid of any of that rust. You want to see it, but I'm my worry level right now about that is mediocre.
Yeah, it's going to get done. CeeDee Lamb's going to be a Dallas Cowboy. I just wonder, Bryson, you think he's going to be the highest paid?
I think you have to give him that type of money, because if you want to look at the comparison in the quarterback market, listen, I think Jordan Love is going to be a sensational player in this league. I'm a big believer in Trevor. Not many are. I understand that. But neither of those guys are in the conversation. I mean, no one's really in the conversation with Mahomes, but even in the same ballpark as that guy to be the best quarterback in football, and yet they're the highest paid because of what their team believes that they can do. Like that's often what gets misconstrued about these contracts. It's not always just what you have done. It's what you can do for me moving forward. And CeeDee Lamb is moving into the absolute prime of his career. His numbers, I'm sure y'all have talked about this, but his numbers have gotten better every single year since coming in 2020. So there's no reason to believe that won't continue, or at least stay where it's at right now. So yeah, I think Dallas gets this deal done and CeeDee Lamb's a Cowboy long-term. But I think they waited long enough, and the punishment is you're going to have to give them the most money when you could have done that in like March or April when it wouldn't have cost you as much. But evidently that's not how the Cowboys and Jerry Jones do business.
Well, we talked about it before we went on air. They classically do this. They did it with Dak Prescott, his first contract. They probably could have got Dak for around 33 to 35 million. They ended up giving him 40, which was at the time everyone was like, holy shit, they gave Dak Prescott 40. They could have signed Dak Prescott last season for probably in the ballpark of 50 to 53, and now it'd be a screaming deal. They also could have signed CeeDee Lamb last year for a hell of a lot cheaper than $36 million or $40 million a year. You probably could have got 30, if not high 20s, is my guess. Like, you look at, like, a Deebo Samuel a few years ago, I think he's making, like, $26 million a year, which is, to us, of course, it's a huge number. Yeah. But in relative to all the other wide receivers, they would have got a smoking deal on CeeDee Lamb, but they just wait and wait and wait, always just a little bit too long.
Yeah.
And also...
Go ahead,
also too, no, go ahead, AJ.
Just the contract, that difference of, say, $2 or $3 million, which when you're paying someone $30 million, it's like, well, just throw in the extra $3 million, who cares? But that's like signing the second and third string guys that you need to help fill out depth. Like, that $2 or $3 million can go, you know, probably one good quality backup or two guys who you want to stretch it out to. So I'm just saying, like, it's a lot of money and the difference is minimal once you get up that high, but it makes a lot of sense for teams to fight for that, saving that extra $2 or $3 million.
Oh, we're going to grab.
However, in the case,
we ain't giving you shit.
No, in the case of CeeDee Lamb, it's like, who cares? Like, yeah.
Pay him. Pay the guy.
What matters as well is the fact that had you paid CeeDee Lamb a little bit earlier, we talked about during the show, you have to imagine Micah Parsons would like an extension now. He'll definitely want an extension come next offseason, and you're going to be in a position to where obviously other teams are going to pay their players down the line, but Justin Jefferson is the highest paid non-quarterback in football. CeeDee Lamb would, by definition, exceed that. You would think Micah Parsons then would want the biggest non-quarterback contract. So you're in a position where you're really backing yourself in a corner in a situation where, like you detailed, AJ, you're not going to have a ton of cap space left when you could have had a pretty sizable amount had you just gotten this done earlier. Because again, the prices for, we talked about, you know, the price for running back has, other than guys like Christian McCaffrey, is kind of coming down. Quarterback and receiver, and certainly pass rusher, this has always been the case, it's going to continue to go up. You're not going to get a bargain for a guy of CeeDee Lamb or Micah Parsons or Dak Prescott's caliber. And I don't know if the Cowboys misjudge the market. I have a hard time believing that they're that blind to it. I did hear somebody suggest that maybe Jerry's the type of guy, he wants to give the biggest contract. He wants to be the guy that did that. I don't know if I don't totally believe that, but it's certainly worth considering. But how they did business this offseason is questionable at best, to put it mildly.
Well, it's funny because it's this catch 22 with drafting players. Like, Sure, you want to draft the best non-quarterback player in the NFL. Like, realistically, you want that. And now the Cowboys are in the situation where they have to pay two guys in the same span of 4 years or 5 years of drafting, like, top players. So it's like, of course you want that, but it comes with this whole new problem of then needing to be able to pay these guys. And that's why it's usually with quarterbacks where you want to win a Super Bowl with the quarterback on his rookie contract. But the Cowboys missed a huge window with not making it past the divisional round with CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons both in their rookie contracts. They also had Trevon Diggs in their rookie contract with both those guys for a couple years. So it's like, people joke that there was no window for the Cowboys. There was a big window for the Cowboys, and they squandered it. They didn't make even the NFC Championship game, and now to make that NFC Championship game just got a lot harder because next year and the year after, you're going to have some of the highest paid guys in the league on your roster.
Not only that, but the conference got a lot better. Green Bay is not going anywhere. I've been a Detroit believer for well over a year, and I think they've got one of the best rosters. Listen, San Francisco, that's self-explanatory. I don't think the Bears are a Super Bowl contender this year, but if Caleb is what people are hoping he could be, that's another team standing in her way. And by the way, the Rams, too, do business well. Like, Philadelphia, there's so many contenders in the NFC, in total, that are just continuously, I mean, listen, I'm sure we all bag on the Eagles here, but Philly every offseason seems like they're aggressive. Philadelphia, I give them credit on this. If they fail, they at least failed trying to take big swings. And Dallas, that's not really the case. Like, this was the weirdest offseason. I think it might have been you, AJ, I was talking to recently, I think it was actually our friend Ryan Flowers, where I said that, you know, Dallas had one of two options to select this offseason after the Green Bay debacle. Is we feel like we are so close, we're just missing a couple pieces, and we go, to, in the words of a wise man, all in. Or we feel like we've hit a wall and we can't go any further, and we tear it down. The fact that they sort of just stayed stagnant, the coach and the quarterback are going the last years of their deals, even the defensive coordinators on a one-year contract, it feels like there's a lot of tension in that organization that we haven't necessarily seen in, as it pertains to their contracts. And Dallas, this is going to be a very fascinating season. I don't see the Cowboys as a contender. I do think they – I very much see them as a playoff team.
Playoffs.
But this feels like a weird, very weird vibe coming into the season. Definitely a lot different than it was a year ago.
That, I guess the thing that I would be most – I am most worried about is how does this lead – if the Cowboys do have a rough start to the season and we have, you know, some contracts that aren't signed, you know, hoping we don't get to this point – that's just going to be more reason. It's going to cause more conflict, right? When teams are losing, it's just that's where internal conflicts can begin, either between players or with players and coaches. And what we definitely don't want to get to with either one of those players, and I'll throw Micah in there as well, is a point where something happens between the relationship with a shot caller within the Cowboys organization and the player, and it's just not going to be, then they're both not willing to concede or like negotiate fairly with one another. I always wonder what's the benefit for the player of being in Dallas in terms of taxes, right? So I know it's something that's not always included in this, but
unless you talk to Stephen Jones, who loves to say it.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
like, well, we're playing in Texas where there's no state taxes. That he Stephen Jones loves to tell people that because it's like he's trying to turn the fans then against people. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right. Well, I mean, go ahead. Sorry, Bryson.
Well, I don't know if he's living pre-2002, but there's another team in Texas that's kind of on the come up.
Yeah.
And that option still applies to them. So, you know, just saying.
Well, and they're not the only state. Like, there's a number of states have either zero or very low. You know, the only place that I think would be a if you had to pick and you liked both teams, playing in Los Angeles versus playing in Dallas, for example, it's just L.A. has a much higher bracket. I think it's like 10%. Maybe I could be wrong, but it's a significant amount that, yeah, you'd be losing no matter what. You'd be losing too much money, I think.
But a lot of these guys, like, I get that for the lower, like the guys that are making, you know, and I say again,
Rock
lower.
Party.
Yeah, like guys that are making a little bit lower, and I say lower, but they're still making a lot of money. But it's like the dudes that are the CeeDee Lambs of the world and the Dak Prescotts of the world or this Micah Parsons, they don't give a shit. They want to be the highest paid, right? So even being like, well, technically you're going to make more. Even if you're paid less than the dude, you're still going to make more because you pay less taxes.
Right.
But they want to be known as the number, highest yeah. non-quarterback paid guy. Whereas I think a dude that's making, you know, somewhere in the like 2 to 5 million, yeah, that might make him go to
right.
Dallas instead of somewhere else because it's like, wow,
such
I make
a large percentage.
I make maybe $1 million more, right, on a lower contract. Whereas CeeDee Lamb's not going, yeah, oh, yeah, you're right, I pay less in taxes, I'll give you a deal. No, he wants that bank. He wants to be known as the top paid wide receiver, at least I'd say top two.
Look at us.
Oh yeah, minimum
certified accountant.
Yeah, certified
here.
Like certified, we're crunching numbers. I just want to hit up chat because we yeah. don't have the people's champ here again. I tried to figure out how to click these damn
yeah I can't it's not in there but
I
anyways
it I can't click
you're doing
it guys
good.
I'm,
you're
I'm
doing
trying
good.
I'm trying, but we got Ultra Cowboy up in chat, we got Andre Mosley up in the house, Boots on the Ground was with Adam in Disneyland talking about them going on Splash Mountain, but you know, we got the chat going. We appreciate everyone that's come by, deal with us a little bit here. It's Ads the People's Champ. He's usually our chat and people engagement, but I'll do my best to kind of sneak in some questions as we roll along.
I think you're doing good.
Thanks, man.
But yeah, so we talked about CeeDee. We'll see what happens. I think for me, that one has, if I was a betting man, it's, you know, put a couple drinks in me and I am, CeeDee Lamb is probably more likely to be signed before the season begins than Dak Prescott at this point. And the reason I say that is because maybe I'm going to talk myself out of this one, but the difficulty of finding a guy who can perform like CeeDee Lamb, a standout wide receiver, a true number one, arguably top three. Well, I guess he's not, it's not really arguable anymore. Madden came out and he is a top three. Yeah, that's how we yep. judge everything, right? But
yep.
the belief of quarterbacks and what I think teams believe they can do with a field manager, someone who I can't even think of who's going to be a free agent next year. But let's say someone like a Kirk Cousins or someone of that caliber coming in. I believe the belief is, well, if we have that stud wide receiver, it's going to make that quarterback better. Whereas if you have the stud quarterback, but he has lackluster receivers, there's really not much he can do to get them to catch the ball or run the proper routes or be more intelligent on the field. So if I don't know if that makes sense to you guys or maybe you think the difference.
No, it does. And I think, totally does. You know, your point, I think the 49ers is a solid example of that. Like, again, nothing against Brock Purdy. He's a good player. I don't believe he is elite. I don't think he's top 10. I think you consider the fact that, you know, when you have those weapons that are, you know, highly compensated, like a Kittle, like a Debo Samuel, like a Brandon Ayuk wants to be, like a Christian McCaffrey, there's more, especially, San Francisco's probably an extreme because of how many they have. But the point remains, you could still elevate your quarterback to a level where even some of the best quarterbacks, I'm curious to see what we get from Buffalo this year, where it's much harder to elevate, you know, second and third tier guys, to the same level of height. So I think you make a good point. And it's why for Dallas that of all the people, if you're not going to sign Dak, to me, the first person to sign, certainly you would think by now would be CeeDee Lamb, because I got to be honest with y'all fellas. If CeeDee Lamb's out, I think this is a bottom 10 receiving core in football. I don't see that star power at all.
Easily. Well, I could not agree with you more. I just want to touch on the Brock Purdy point that you made. Look how Brock Purdy was when Debo Samuel was out of the roster. They lost three games in a row. They were a completely different team with just one of their weapons gone, right? And then he still had Kittle, Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey, Trent Williams, Juzak at fullback. Like, that team's loaded.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They just lose one guy, and then they can scheme differently, and he looked human, right? So,
and Patrick, listen, not everybody can be Patrick Mahomes. You cannot basically, and I know obviously as Kelsey, but you can basically not have a number one guy and win the Super Bowl. That's just not the reality. Burrow has number one guys. We'll see what Keon Coleman is in Buffalo, but Allen prior to this year had a number one guy. Lamar Jackson for the first time, I think, had one in Zay Flowers. Like, just across the board, every quarterback's got at least one of those dudes. And Dallas clearly does, but they're not approaching the situation as such. And again, I don't think any of us really have the answer to why it's taking this long, because listen, the front office is, I think, trying to sell this notion. Well, it's really hard to get these deals done. None of us are saying it's not, but these other teams seem to go by and get these deals done pretty smoothly. Philly got two receiver deals done.
Whoa. We don't got to rub our noses in it.
I'm not blaming y'all for it.
We wouldn't be rivals with Philadelphia
if their fans weren't such sleazebag pieces of shit.
Well, that's
you said it on me.
That's what we really like are when we shit on Philly. It's mostly because of the fans. But if Philly wasn't good, they wouldn't be worth our breath. Like, if they weren't a contender against the Cowboys each year, they wouldn't be worth arguing about.
Like, it'd the
be
Giants.
Like, yeah, it'd yeah, be like, you know, if
we don't
the
even talk about the Giants. Exactly. They're like that little brother that you just don't even want to talk to.
But so, you know, I can give flowers to the.
Management, Howie Roseman.
Oh, like, yeah, they do a great job, and they've kept that team together. And where they should have, I mean, I don't pay enough attention to Philly to know, you know, day by day like I do with Cowboys.
Well, I'll give
but
you
they
one.
Seem to be able to keep everyone who they're.
Yeah, keep everyone, sign everyone, and then get a guy like Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
In the offseason. If we would have got a Saquon Barkley or a Derrick Henry in the offseason for Dallas.
Oh,
we would all be talking about Super Bowl right now. We would. I mean, we still are, but we would all be legitimately be like, man, you now you definitely signed CeeDee Lamb. You got that running back. And that's what so the Eagles saw their issue, and they decided to go out and get one of the younger playmakers of the last few years in Saquon Barkley. And it's like, you bastards.
And the case is, you know, for Dallas is the fact that they had the most explosive offense in football without really having a run game. I mean, yeah. I think Tony Pollard averaged just a little over 50 yards per game, and Tony's a good player, but that's just not going to sustain you over the course of time. Like, I mean, I'm sure y'all remember that Detroit game where part of the reason Detroit was even in the position they were to win the game is because Dallas didn't have that run game to rely upon to bleed the clock. And listen, respect to Zeke, and listen, I think it's good for that locker room to have Ezekiel Elliott back, and nothing gets Rico Dowdle, but especially without Tyron Smith and Zach Martin getting older, I just don't think you're going to be able to have a consistent run game where if you do have a one score lead with 3 minutes to go, do you trust that football team to bleed the clock out like it would have as recently as 4 or 5 years ago?
There's a lot of hopium inside of me for Rico Dowdle. And of course, it's not really going to come to fruition until we actually get to the season, see how he handles that. He's, for the times that he's played well, but he's not been playing against the top defenses generally. Like when Rico Dowdle was out on the field, it was usually when a game was either out of hand or they were just bringing him in for a couple snaps here and there. So it's hard to say. I do, but like on Zeke's return, all I'm hoping for, I'm not looking for any sort of like, oh, Zeke's back and he's the same guy he was when we drafted him. He just needs to be the guy who can get that short yardage to help out in the red zone. The Cowboys,
yeah.
I don't know what the stats looked like, but the eye test told me it was quite frustrating when we got into that 10 yards to the end zone. Because the options were, okay, Cowboys are 90% passing.
Yeah, it's just the run game was not doing its thing. But speaking of the passing game,
yes,
we kind of touched on it a little bit prior, but we have an article up with Cowboys and Dak Prescott are still in contract negotiation, and this is the big one. Whose side are you on? It's like the Twilight series. Were you a Jacob, or was that their name? What was the werewolf and the stupid vampire's name?
In Twilight? I didn't even
Twilight?
Watch. Jacob
I've
sounds
never
right.
Seen Twilight.
Jacob and Patrick.
I was going to say Fiddlesticks.
I can't remember their names. Are you team Jacob or are you team? I don't even know if Jacob was the one guy's name.
Vampires or yeah, werewolves?
We'll say that. Were you a vampire?
Robert Pattinson, Taylor Lautner. We can go.
Yeah, okay. There. That's a better way to go.
Robin Taylor.
With it. But yeah, Cowboys and Dak Prescott. I mean, it's a pretty polarizing subject. There's no one really in the middle. It's either they hate Dak Prescott, they want to move on from him, or you're on the side where, man, you'd be stupid. You're actually stupid for not signing him earlier.
Yeah. And look at this photo here of Dak. He's got that model. Like, it's like, that's a model's face right there, is it not?
He actually looks like, to me, he's like, doesn't know if it's a stop sign or a yield sign.
And he's trying to.
So he's really.
But he's not breaking yet.
Oh, shit. That's kind of how the Cowboys have been with this contract.
Yeah, totally. So, Bryson, you had a great, I think you made a clip as well, but it was on one of your two podcasts ago, so definitely go check that out on Carving It Up podcast on all the social medias, or just search Carving It Up on YouTube. But you had a nice little, you're a Dak man. You're a Dak man. You've always been a Dak man.
You're a Dak rider like us. We're Dak riders.
But you had a nice little opinion on the contact scenario, and we want to give you just open range to bleed your heart for the man that you have been in love with for how many years now? Nine?
Nine, since last year at Mississippi State, yep.
Good guess, AJ.
Yeah, well, you know, I pay attention sometimes.
That's look at AJ just getting it down to a T.
Very T.
So I think, you know, everybody was talking about last week the Dak soundbite where he was saying like, hey, it's who knows, I may play for another team in later in my career. Who knows? But I think that press conference and sort of the big soundbite that came from it came from the State of the Cowboys, a State of the Union, so to speak, speech or press conference that the Joneses and whoever the coach is, which we know the coach doesn't answer that many questions at that press conference, does at the start of training camp. And I thought it was fascinating. Both Joneses had a fascinating quote. Jerry Jones talked about how, you know, he said, believe it or not, that, you know, sometimes I haven't gotten everything that I want in my life, or I haven't been able to afford it. And sometimes it's you end up being better off for it, which to me seemed to be implying that Jerry's like, hey, maybe we get it done with Dak. Maybe we're better off without Dak. And sort of my rebuttal to that is I think the Cowboys lucked into both Romo and Dak. Romo was undrafted. And Dak was probably their third choice among quarterbacks in that draft. They wanted Paxton Lynch, they wanted Connor Cook, then they wanted Dak Prescott.
Great that they missed both. Great that they missed both, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding. So on Stephen Jones' side, I found his comments a lot more fascinating. So Stephen Jones talks about how, you know, when you pay one guy, there's always the next guy to pay. And it's just really hard to be able to get these all in order. And he said that, you know, he was talking about the Vikings paying Justin Jefferson. And he said, you know, they were able to get that deal done because they're not paying a lot of guys. And I did some deep digging on this. Ooh. I'm like, okay, is there some truth to what he's saying? And I have it right here. So this is according to Sheil Kapadia from The Ringer. So I will ask you guys, I'm sure AJ saw the segment, but I'll ask the audience as well. Where do you think the Cowboys rank in terms of cash spent in the NFL? Among 32 teams, where the Cowboys rank in cash spent?
Now, I'll say, because I know the answer, but I know what I was going to say. I actually thought that they would be like top 10. I thought that they, because of the players they had, I thought they would be spending a lot of money. So that was my.
So I'm confused. So, and I just want to ask before I make my guess, how is that figured out? Does this take into just the this year? Or does it take into all years, like all their contracts together?
From what I read, it sounded like it was this year in particular, in terms of, you know, how they're spreading out the contracts, like what they're paying the players specifically this year, 2024. They're not basing it necessarily off of average, things of that nature.
I'm gonna say dead cap, et cetera.
I'm gonna say eighth. Of course.
They're factoring it. What did you say, eighth?
Eighth.
Okay. Dead last.
Really?
Dead last. Yep.
Interesting.
And so when Stephen Jones is putting out this message that, hey, you know, it's hard to keep all these guys. It's like, really? Literally every team in the league spending. I mean, the darn Cardinals and the Panthers are spending more money than the Cowboys. And so it's, you know, when you factor those things in the equation, there's also a stat that of the 14 teams that are paying their quarterbacks $40 million this season, or at least on average this season, Dallas is only one of three to not have another player making $20 million in their roster. So this idea that they're going all in, or they're trying to put all the pieces together, and, you know, Dak, it sounds like they're kind of blaming Dak for their troubles, even though Dak's not even one of the 10 highest paid quarterbacks. It feels like a big time cop out. And I think that we've known Dak to be Mr. Cowboy, you know, say all the right things. He's great in front of the media. And I thought it was so fascinating when he's in the midst of his answer and you watch him and you see the wheels turning in his head. And he kind of looks, he's like, okay, I'm going to say it. I may play for somebody different next year. And I thought that was the most honest we've seen him in this whole negotiation time. And I truly believe, I don't have any sources in Dallas. I obviously don't know Dak, but I could see a scenario in which that was prompted by what the Jones said in that press conference. So that was kind of my take that, you know, they tried to gaslight folks as if Dak's contract is the source of their problems, when in fact they're penny pinching is really the source of their issue.
Yeah, they're just waiting. I was going to say, if you did know Dak, would you tell him to come on the show and crack him if you had him? You would get Dak on here if he was buddies with you. You'd be like, hey, I got a couple crazy Canadians you got to talk to, and you'd get him on with us.
The Joneses are very political in that they will say things and repeat them enough that, you know,
the media, everyone believes it.
Hopefully, well, enough people do.
Well,
that
the reason
they create that smoke.
Well, yeah, because Dak has ruined this team, and they can't sign anyone else because of him.
That's right. No,
I full heartedly believe that because the Jones have told me this 25 times.
You couldn't, in my opinion, and how you feel about how Dak performs aside, or where you think Dak can take the Cowboys. He's been a stand-up Dallas Cowboys player. Like, he's coming to training camp on the last year of a contract, which is like pretty crazy for a quarterback to do. Not that they're hitting out there, but how many injuries happen in training camp for players as they're like shaking that rust off? Exactly. Yes, we lost Sam Williams for the year there.
Well, Joe Burrow, it happened to him in last year.
Exactly. Right, exactly. You just never know what's going to happen. And I was going to say, like, realistically, if Dak Prescott wanted to hold out, what would the Cowboys would have to pay him?
Yeah,
like he could hold out right now. He could be like, yeah, I'm not showing up anymore.
But he
give me my money, mother.
He's such a leader of that locker room, or at least he desires to be. If he's not, and I believe that he is, that he knows that that's just like not the move to do. But I think Bryson, you made that point, and that was a really interesting interview where he did have that moment where he kind of went off script, you know? And I think, you know, everyone has a point where they're like, look, you can talk shit about me for as long, to a certain point, but if you're going to, it was right on the heels of those comments, and Dak was just like, probably like, I can't just sit here and be the whipping boy and not defend myself and not say my point of view. And he didn't say anything wild. He was very honest. No. He was very, very true. He's like, I want to be here, but I may not be if that's how things go. And it is a little kind of shock because he kind of did the same thing that Jerry Jones does, where Jerry Jones will say something like historical about how he's had to deal with adversity in the past, and they always find a way to get through it. And Dak kind of led his comment with, you know, I've seen other great quarterbacks go to other teams and do, I'm putting words in his mouth now, but, you know, they do well and they continue their career elsewhere. And I think it was obviously a little bit of a firing back there to be like, look, I can play this game too. And more power to him for that. I'm on Dak's side.
Dak has all the leverage. I think you're spot on, AJ, is the fact that he's got, obviously, last year of his contract, he's got a no trade clause. I think more importantly, as a no tag clause, which I hate the franchise tag personally. So I loved when I heard that was, you know, part of his deal. And listen, he's got a big market. I mean, I think there are it's funny. The NFL is doing their top 100 players that they do every year around this time. And 16 quarterbacks are on the list. And so that means at least half the league does not have the quote unquote that guy. Listen, we'll see if the Bears potentially, who knows, but there's at the very least, I think a third of the league absolutely feels in their gut. Dak absolutely takes their team to greater heights than they're at now. I think the Raiders are there. I think if the Giants are able to somehow move off Daniel Jones, I think that's in the cards if Belichick goes there. Listen, I'm crossing my fingers that Pittsburgh is good, but not too good. So maybe we can get him. But there's a number of teams where he'd fit really well. They need him. And listen, nobody's going to exactly say Dak is going to make the Tom Brady effect and win a Super Bowl right off the bat. But I think the idea that the Cowboys are in the favorable position, it's that doesn't exist. Dak is in, you know, Jerry told him 3 years ago, I overpaid for you. Well, you didn't overpay him, but you certainly gave him an out to where he's in the catbird seat, man.
And for me, with cap, I always look at it like it is an investment and you are going to be overpaying in, I would say, 40, 30%. Like, if you sign someone for 5 years, you're going to be overpaying for two of those years. But the
idea, question.
Right? It's just like, it's either going to go lower and then higher or higher and then lower, right? That's like, you look at Patty Mahomes' contract, it's like a freaking wave. It goes super high, and then he's way, way below the market value, and then it's back high again. But that's just the nature of signing these guys, and you got to find that right moment where you definitely don't want, say, CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons all being up high, and because then that's like eating up way too much of the cap space. So there is some like math to that whole aspect, but the overpaying for a quarterback to me is—it's
a myth.
It's just I don't really,
unless someone pays a quarterback $75 million right now. It's a myth.
It's a
unless like, you pay like a Daniel Jones or something, like a guy who's objective.
They did overpay Daniel Jones, and no one's arguing that. Still, there's not, the Giants didn't get a deal on Daniel Jones now, even when they hit the right, like they overpaid Daniel Jones.
Look, Dak is on the books already for $65 million this year. So what it. Like, I would even be willing to say, yes, I'll sign you for that amount this year for a long-term contract so the next 3 years can be low, because who's out there that you want, that you have that, like, let's say the new contract would be $55 million instead under, like, regular terms, because where's that $10 million going to go? Who's out there that is someone who the Cowboys are going to use to, and I'm sure there's lots of players and people can make a list, but I don't think there's anyone like stand out in terms of importance of Dak. So like, I would sign Dak if he wanted a lot of money. I'd say, fine, take the $65 million. We've kind of missed that boat anyways of taking that money and making really good use of it. And then the next 3 years, okay, he'll be under that market value, or 4 years, right? Like, so you can really work it that way too. But you know, we're all cap space experts.
We're
right
gurus.
Now, right?
Not only are we great, highly trained accountants, we are also cap gurus. Put us anywhere on any team or in any office setting, and we will bring back gains.
I have a question, and we've touched on it a little bit. And online too, people have talked about it a little bit. Mostly I hear it from Anthony. What team would take Dak on that you think he would, I think almost all NFL teams would sign Dak, but which one do you think he'd have the biggest impact on if he was to sign with them in the 2025 season? Like, who
you can call, improve? You can call me, you can call me biased, but I think it's the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
Listen, I think the fact that I personally think Pittsburgh had arguably the single worst quarterback room in football last year, combined with the worst offensive coordinator, and somehow, some way, because of the greatness of Mike Tomlin, they won 10 games and got into the playoffs. And playoffs. Listen, for what it's worth, push Buffalo. And so in a conference in the AFC where it's great quarterbacks galore, Dak certainly is not in the class of Mahomes. I don't think he's as good as Burrow or a Lamar Jackson or something like that. But do I think if you can plug him into a situation where, I mean, the last time the Steelers got great play out of the quarterback position was Ben in his prime, and they were consistently AFC championship game level team. You put Dak on that squad, you give him a George Pickens, you give him a good running game. Pittsburgh has gone all out the last 2 years to draft offensive linemen, and I thought they had a really good draft, you know, in that regard this year. Is they've got the cap space. The defense is always going to be good under Tomlin. Again, I got to see about Arthur Smith as the new OC. I'm skeptical, but I'm cautiously optimistic about it. I think it's better than what we had last year. But I think at the end of the day, if you plug Dak in a situation, if we're talking just about the teams that can need a quarterback in 2025, I think the Steelers absolutely are at the top of the list. Also, keep your eye out. Our guy Patrick Brown on The Grid has pointed this out, that If Stafford were to retire, I think the Rams are a very real possibility. Him pairing up with McVay, I think, is in the cards. But Pittsburgh, I mean, I'm looking at teams right now that can need a quarterback next year. I mean, talk about like a Tennessee Titans, maybe. I don't necessarily want to see Dak go to Tennessee.
Vegas.
The Raiders are.
Yeah, Vegas.
Vegas Raiders. The Giants, potentially. I mean, there's some teams that could definitely need quarterbacks, but I think if Dak's goal is to compete for titles, I think of the teams that potentially want him, the Steelers are at the top of that list.
Do you think the Vikings would be out of the, I know they just drafted their quarterback who they hope is the quarterback of the future, but if you get a shot at Dak Prescott, you know, you never
McCarthy
know.
Would have to be like Josh Rosen bad. And listen, I don't believe
bad,
in McCarthy.
You'd have to have a bad season.
He would have to truly wet the bed in order for the Vikings to totally just move off him
after a
year.
After a season.
And who knows? They may, if they're that bad, they may just draft somebody and pay a lot less. So, yeah, Pittsburgh to me feels like the best decision or the best destination for Dak Prescott.
Final question on this, guys, from me. If Jerry Jones or the Jones organization was quieter, do you think the situation would still be so heated, or would the silence kind of be, they must be working it out? Like, how do you feel? Or would it not matter?
I still think they are working it out. Like, I'm in the camp of Dak's going to be signed before the season starts. I just don't see in a world of possibilities. And Bryson, I know because AJ told me that you don't think he's going to be a Cowboy in 8 months. And I didn't even say anything. I just did this one.
Yeah.
But I to me, it'd be great. It'd be just, shocking. You made me not speak. But and it must just be because, one, I do like Dak Prescott. And two, I just think it'd be such an insane move to go into the season without a top five quarterback locked up long term. It just seems, it makes no sense to me at all. So I'm on the page where I hope and I believe that they're going to have him signed before the season.
And one could make a case in your favor, Anth, is that there's never been a quarterback as good as, I mean, you could say Brady, but the case was he has the end of his career. We've never had a quarterback as good as Dak in his prime as a true free agent. Because you could say like 2019, he was in the last year of his deal, but he was never going to be a true free agent because they could just tag him. Even right. In 2021, they got the deal done, but they could have still just tagged him that year. So this is, I mean, Kirk Cousins, you could argue 2018, but I don't think any of us think Kirk is as good as Dak. We are potentially talking about, I heard Ian Rappaport talking about this the other day. We could potentially be talking about the biggest, not in terms of the best player, because I think Reggie White clears that, but the biggest free agent in NFL history. And you're going to have teams, you know, bidding like crazy on him. And it's going to be the first time in Dak Prescott's career where he could test the market, see what he's worth. Again, we talked about there's plenty of teams that could want him. But listen, I agree with you that I think Dallas has butchered this in the sense that you want to have your franchise quarterback locked up long term, and you know confidence in that regard. But listen, this is, the Cowboys aren't just any other organization; they do business differently. But to go to your what you were saying, AJ, real quick, is the fact that you asked if it would be different if the Cowboys were quieter. I'll put it this way: I don't think we get that quote from Dak if the Cowboys were a more publicly subdued franchise. But I think because I don't think the Cowboys are well run. I think poorly run organizations are poorly run organizations. Like the Cardinals aren't upfront about it. The Cardinals are not well run. And so I think I don't know if it necessarily makes a difference, because to a quarterback of Dak's caliber, it's going to be a story whether you have Jerry Jones or not. So I know that was a long-winded answer, but that's kind of where I'm at. And I don't think that Dak is a Cowboy in 2025, because
you know,
you're in a position where there's this much friction now. What makes me think that if Dak knows he could get just as much money, if not more elsewhere, that he'd just go ahead and sign the deal now?
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Because he wants to be a cowboy when he retires, man.
And that's what I'm...
maybe he comes back for a year when he's like 40 years old. I don't know.
Does the Zeke that leaves for a season and comes back?
Yeah.
Well, this... well, I don't know. That's not going to happen. No, I hate to tell you. No.
That's what I'm worried about, is if it comes down to like an A-B choice, staying in Dallas or going elsewhere, roughly the same deal, you know, let's say roughly the same team caliber. His decision making is like, well, you guys have rubbed me wrong so many times, I'm going elsewhere. Like,
since his rookie year, they have.
Yeah, you know.
Well,
so
not just the Jones family, the Cowboys' entire fan base.
That's true.
I hate to say it, but the year that Romo left the Cowboys, like when you knew that Dak was the quarterback and Romo got kind of released, I was stoked. I was like, man, I'm so jacked up to see him play for a different team so that the fan base can be like, okay, this dude can play football. And now I'm just scared. I said this before, AJ on air, that I'm scared that we watch Dak Prescott go and have extreme success with another team. Does he win a Super Bowl? I know not many quarterbacks have done it. I think only Peyton Manning and Tom Brady have went to other teams and won Super Bowls.
Stafford did it.
Oh, yeah, and sorry, Matthew Stafford also. But I just feel it in the pit of my stomach that if you let this dude go, he is going to go somewhere else, and he is going to tear it up. I mean, he's torn it up with the Cowboys, just not, unfortunately, in the postseason, and that's the biggest gripe. But sure. I think if he goes, it's going to be a big mistake by the Dallas Cowboys organization, and I think they're going to regret it. Like, okay, what's the downside of signing Dak for 4 more years? Yes, it's going to cost a lot of money. You're going to be a perennial playoff team, and you're going to have a chance at a Super Bowl. What happens if you don't go with him? Well, you're really, really gambling. You're now possibly wasting the careers of Trevon Diggs, Tyler Smith, Deron Bland, Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb, your newest draft picks and Tyler Guyton, who we're going to talk about, and the list goes on and on. So I just, it's such a risk, and I don't know if the reward, what's the reward? You get a rookie quarterback. No rookie quarterback has ever won a Super Bowl. So year one's a wash, right? 2025's a wash. If you can even get a quarterback in 2025, hopefully by 2026 they're competing. But it just seems like the four-year span of moving on from Dak to keeping Dak in that 4 years, I don't think there's enough reward to move on from him.
And drafting a quarterback's a gamble. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's the first pick or you're Mr. Irrelevant like Brock Purdy. Like, quarterbacks come in all different shapes and sizes. I mean, again, Romo was undrafted. Dak was a fourth rounder. Like, neither of those dudes, people forget this, neither of those dudes, the Cowboys were like planning their entire draft around. Like, the last time they did that was, I guess, Quincy Carter back in the day, and that didn't really work. And so, or Troy Aikman, I guess, if you're talking about last first round guys. So, you know, the Cowboys have, again, I hate to, it almost takes credit from guys like Will McClay and others, you know, if you say they lucked into them, but to a degree they kind of have. Like, that's usually not how it works. If you go, it's hard to pass off from one really good quarterback to another. It doesn't happen much throughout history. It rarely happens when those guys, one was a middle round pick and one wasn't drafted at all. And so, and I've heard some, I think we're going to maybe touch on Trey Lance. Some have suggested Trey Lance. I mean, the man couldn't even beat out Sam Darnold under Kyle Shanahan's system. So, like, what are we talking about?
He can't beat Cooper Rush.
Well, this is...
He can't beat Cooper Rush.
This is that's a great little segue into training camp for the Dallas Cowboys. And let's just start with Trey Lance right there. There was a lot of...
Can I just say one thing before we jump into any player? Yep. I know it's been making its waves around social media, and I kind of touched on it in the pre-show with Bryson. It's funny in a couple senses to me, because we were at training camp last year and it was super packed. All the days we were there, it was pretty packed, right? This year, there's news, and the first padded practice, the Dallas Cowboys stands in Oxnard, California, were pretty dead. Like, there was not a whole lot of people there for the first padded practice. And the first padded practice is usually a pretty big deal. So I don't know, guys. It maybe the fans are starting to kind of not drink the Kool-Aid a little bit. I just think it's kind of funny that you never hear about any other training camp really, and then like the Cowboys don't have anyone there, and it's like and it might just be because I follow only Cowboys pages really, but Bryson, I asked you and you said you had kind of heard about it a little bit.
No, I all I saw was a picture where they were showing the stands, and it was kind of shocking. Like, even if the Cowboys are a mid-level, if they're like a 8-9 win team, the fan base is, it's the biggest in sports. Like, that fan base is always going to show up. And so, I don't know what the circumstances were behind that. Like, I don't want to make some big, broad, you know, judgment, but it's Cowboys training camps, first pad of practice. Like, you get to see some of the best players on the field, you know, right there in front of you. So, Is it a sign that the Cowboys fan base has gotten, was the Green Bay loss like the last straw? Like, I don't know. Like, you know, y'all are more qualified to say that than me, but that was a very weird sight to see for sure.
Yeah. My thoughts about it is like, I think the Cowboys fan base is so large that even if 50% of the people said, we're not going this year, there's still enough people to fill the stands. So this was a really weird scenario, especially on the first padded practice.
First padded practice. Like, the hype should still be pretty high right now.
Now,
in most seasons, but there's just maybe not any hype.
Well, there was some images of the or some feedback, I guess, in people posting about a large lineup today, I believe, or whenever the last practice was.
Today.
And so it seems to have rebounded. So I'm wondering if there was maybe a special Texas or sorry, I guess it would be an Oxnard or California like day off or something for people. They all went to the beach instead of coming to the Cowboys training camp. I don't know.
Or it was one of those days that if you don't make work today on this Monday, you're fired.
Yeah. But it is absolutely shocking with the size of the Cowboys fan base that this place had looked like it was the opening act for a, you know, Beyonce concert or something like that. Like, just completely empty.
Yeah, it's odd. It really is. And again, I don't want to make any broad judgments, but if that's like a protest by the Cowboys, that is, or Cowboys fans, that's really interesting, because it's I've always said one thing about Jerry Jones, that Jerry Jones would rather be bad than irrelevant.
Yes.
And I'll never forget, there was a game, this was during the 2020 season. I remember this because that was the year Dak got hurt and they really stumbled at the gates. They got hot at the end of the year, but they played a game. I don't know if you guys remember this. They beat San Francisco at home.
Yep.
And that was a game where the Niners were out of the playoff picture. Dallas was barely in it. And that was a scheduled Sunday night game, and they flexed it to 1 p.m. Eastern. And I theorized, like, on my show at the time, that I think this bothers Jerry Jones as much as a playoff loss.
Oh yeah,
like that is, like, Jerry revels in the glow and in the shine of the midday Thanksgiving Day game. And so I think that image right there that y'all are showing, I think, bothers Jerry just as much as anything.
Oh, 100% it does. And Boots was actually there yesterday. He manned the field for us. He actually had a couple good interviews with a couple good Cowboys players. Well, I mean, shouted out. They talked a little bit, which was pretty sweet. We posted that on our social media accounts. But I don't know how much you can take from this. AJ, I do like your point saying that they have such a broad fan base. I need to see it for myself, though. Like, next week, we're going to be there Monday to Friday. They have two padded practices, Monday, Tuesday, and then they have the scrimmage versus the Rams. If it comes to the scrimmage versus the Rams,
and it's like
this, then I'll be like, oh man, fans are over it. But
you know what I'll say?
What?
I'll go.
Told you.
I'm gonna go check out that merch tent, because I bet you there's a lot of good stuff left right now.
And just try to start bartering. Well, you guys haven't sold anything, so me buying this hat for half price is still better than you not selling anything.
It's like, what do you think this is, Thailand? Yes.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Now sell it to me.
Now 200 baht is all I'm paying.
I'm only
for
giving
this.
You 200 baht.
That's 12 Canadian or a cent in USD.
So I thought it was just funny, this picture, because, I mean, it's funny that it's even really news. I mean, I wonder how many training camps across the league yesterday had barely anybody at them.
Right, but I think the you're right. It's funny that it makes news, but it's also funny because I would never expect this. I would never expect that those stands. The only thing I can imagine is that this was taken early or late, because there were times when we were there after the practice
and there was no one
ended, and there, but players are still out there, but we're hanging out because we got nothing else better to do. And that, you know, people had left by that point, but this was during it. So
yeah, well, we got to see with our own eyes, and we will be there next week, Monday to Friday, and we'll be able to tell you if the attendance is low or not.
But let's move on to Mr. Travion Lance. I know that's not his name.
I mean, we could go with it.
But Trey Lance, you know, he's been another polarizing player. People have been calling to give him the shot. You know, he really hasn't had a great chance with Cooper Rush being the backup and being a very solid backup for the Cowboys. But it looks like Cooper Rush is on the last year of his contract as well this year. I would imagine the Cowboys would want to sign him again. But we do want to see what Trey Lance can do. And so far, kind of mixed reactions. It depends, I guess, on what clips you're looking at. But Lance has thrown, there's a couple compilations out there of him throwing just terrible passes. And then I've seen other people come up with clips of him throwing some really good passes. So what are you guys' thoughts on Trey Lance and how he's performed so far? Or I guess the expectations, like, is third string where you know, if he's third string, that's what it is? Or, you know, is the expectation he should be moving up that roster to the second string QB?
No, I think here's the thing. It's hard to judge training camp interceptions because, you know, I'm sure you'll remember that was the thing with Dak Prescott last year. It was, man, Dak's thrown, and he ended up only throwing 9 during the season. It's a thing right now with Purdy. I saw some, I think it was, listen, I don't think Deshaun's that good, but there was stuff with Deshaun Watson. And so sometimes we can overdo the training camp. Sometimes like we can do that with the preseason. Like as a Steelers fan, I was like psyched when I saw Kenny Pickett during preseason. I was like, here we go. And he was really bad in the regular season. So with that said though, is I initially thought when the Cowboys made the move for Trey Lance, last year, I initially thought they were going to play it as a situation where he's the third string last year. He probably doesn't dress that for that many games. And then coming into this offseason, he's good in training camp. He plays well in the preseason, and the Cowboys can get more for him than what they got him for. You know, buy low, sell high, as the old saying goes. And again, from right now, from what I'm hearing from y'all, from what I'm hearing in Oxnard, California, it sounds like Cooper Rush is just flat out competing him. And that's it reminds me a lot of last year when Purdy, assuming he had a healthy elbow, was the no question starter in San Francisco. And but the battles between basically two number three overall pick busts in Sam Darnold and Trey Lance, and Darnold won that job quite easily and was better in the preseason. And again, that's the Kyle Shanahan system. Like every quarterback works over there. So I think I would be surprised if Trey Lance is on the roster come week one, because I don't know necessarily what the use for him is. Because if God forbid, knock on wood, Dak goes down, well, Cooper Rush, as you guys just talked about, he's been good. He's, what is he, 5-1 in his career in starts? They've done a good job in terms of putting him in position to succeed with a running game. And so at that point, I don't really know what Trey Lance's use is. If you're not using him for special packages, they probably still try to deal him to a more desperate team. But that's a very odd story that is brewing, and let's put it this way. I think the Cowboys would be very ill-advised if that's their replacement plan for Dak next year if he leaves.
Well, I just think it's funny that you brought up Sam Darnold and him battling for the backup, and then Sam Darnold was clearly beating him, and Jerry Jones was like, okay, we got to get Trey Lance for a fourth-round pick. We got to get him. And then didn't advise with Mike McCarthy or Will McClay. He just traded a fourth-round pick for him. And it was
Think about this. My Steelers got Justin Fields for a 6th-round pick, and Fields is way better than Trey Lance.
Right? Exactly. Yes. Like, if the Cowboys say they didn't do the Trey Lance thing, and then this year or in the offseason they traded a 6th-round for Justin Fields, at least Justin Fields has some tape of him doing some pretty spectacular things in the NFL. Sure, he's had his issues, but if you told me right now I could have Justin Fields or Trey Lance on the roster, it's a pretty clear-cut choice of who I'd rather have.
And also, when you're looking at a third string, it's like if you're just replicating the abilities that your first and second string have, then you're just kind of really not improving what you can do with your quarterbacks. At least Justin Fields comes with the X factor of he's got legs, he can make things happen on the run. He may maybe if you compare apples, if you compare passing between the two, perhaps Trey Lance has the better arm, let's say. But in terms of what a quarterback can offer to your offense in ability, Justin Fields by far offers more potential in that he has that legs. He also has a decent enough arm that he's made it work in the NFL, right? So combine those two things. I mean, I guess he would kind of be a Wish version or a Timu, if I can be more relevant, a Timu version of Lamar Jackson, not to compare the two, just saying that I think the X factor is the same and that they're very mobile quarterbacks. What we're getting with the Cowboys backups is you've got basically all the guys all have the same thing. Now we did see Trey Lance he can move his legs. There was a couple clips today with him making a break. Again, it's training camp. He's not getting smoked out there. Like, I always like when guys make a Deuce Vaughn, for example, last year. He had a couple clips where he, like, broke through everyone and made a touchdown. It's like, yeah, the guys who touch him with their hand, that would have been a smashing tackle if this was a real game. So, like, it's great to see him run through like it's flag football and, you know, he gets to the end zone and you know, that looked awesome. He's got speed, but it's the same thing. In training camp, the legs are not necessarily, when I see some of these clips after a ball's catched, I'm like, okay, that basically where they catch the ball or where they get the ball or that first touch, we can assume in a real NFL game, that would be the end of the play.
Well, you have a clip here, AJ, mm-hmm. kind of on cue. I'm going to bring up, I don't know what part of it we're at, but it says for the final two reps of practice today, the Cowboys let Trey Lance work in with the first team. He had one scramble for 6 to 7 yards, which is, I think, what we're watching right here. So this is a 6 to 7
So, like, right there, he'd be
dead. He's dead if he didn't slide. And one completion to the far side on those two reps. So this is his second coming up here is going to be his second rep with the ones. And it's funny that they show this because, I mean, I guess it's not a negative play. So any positive play is a positive. But this is his second rep with the ones through a short little out route to, you can't really see who there. I believe it is 16. So you can't really get much from that. The only thing I get from that pause it. Oh shit. All I'm watching, look at the stands.
Oh my gosh. There you go. There it is.
Hey, well, in fairness, it is Trey Lance out there.
Yeah, they're like, oh, Trey's there. Let's get the hell out of here.
Y'all could start something, because listen, the influence that the Cowboys camp fan has at training camp, I imagine, is substantial. Absolutely. What y'all could do is organize a situation where when Dak Prescott's on the field, fill the stands, and then when Cooper Rush or Trey Lance just get out of here.
Let's go grab a beer. Let's get a beer.
Exactly. Go take a little break. That could maybe send a message to Jerry Jones. I think he does to a level care what the fans think. I mean, obviously, that's not ideal. You know what you're seeing right there. So. But I'll tell you this: I think the stands will be more packed for the joint practice because it's. I mean, it might as well just be a glorified preseason game, you know, with the Rams. So, I could see. I think it'll be by the time y'all are there, it'll be more filled up.
Either way, we're gonna have a blast.
We will, at the end of the day, let's get Dak signed. Then we don't have to really worry about what's happening with the backups. We know who Cooper Rush is, and if Trey Lance he's probably going to have some time to showcase his skills in the preseason game. If he does anything there, you trade him when his value is the highest and someone's need is the highest. You try to match those two things up and pawn him off to someone else. Hopefully get back the pick that we traded. Well, we don't want it now because
even
it's past,
get a seventh,
just get something for him. Here's the thing with Trey Lance too, is he's got that big, like, I think it's $24 million.
He's going to have to rework some stuff.
You know, so no one team's going to be taking him for $24 million. He's going to have to redo that contract anyways.
Trey Lance might
be... makes things difficult.
Trey Lance might be the most talked about third string quarterback in the NFL.
Easily.
And it's just like...
a lot of that's just because of where he's drafted, yeah.
That's it. And it's just like, to anyone that pays attention, even last year, even last season, if he was as good as every fan hoped he was... he would have passed Cooper Rush at some point last year on the depth chart. He never did. He never ended up being the second string quarterback. He was always the emergency quarterback, and Cooper Rush was the number two. So I haven't seen anything to prove otherwise from that. And you get the hope from fans that it's going to be, okay, this preseason, Trey Lance is going to ball out. But it's like he's still right now third on the depth chart. So I just think it's a far cry that he's going to be, and a lot of Cowboys fans believe that if they just let him have the first team reps, he would be better than Dak Prescott. I just don't see that. So,
well, that's delusional.
Hey, DeLulu. Bryson, do you know of a little guy named, well, he's not a little guy, let me tell you this.
He's like, if you sat on my shoulders.
Yes. Basically, if I sat on Ant's shoulders and then we also gained 100 pounds, do you know of a guy named Tyler Guyton?
I do, yes.
Okay, now, did you watch him in college at all?
I tend to watch O-line play more in the NFL than I do in college, but listen, he was a highly touted pick out of Oklahoma. People like him. I think, by and large, it was hailed as a pretty good pick by Dallas, so for what that's worth.
Yeah, and so the biggest question in Cowboys Nation, and I'm sure you already know this, but just to bring everyone up to speed, and myself as well, to be corrected in case I'm wrong, there's a question about, what's our offensive line going to look like? What's the Dallas Cowboys offensive line going to look like? We've discussed a couple combinations where Tyler Guyton might be playing left tackle or right tackle, just because there's kind of huge question marks first of all, in the left tackle position where Tyler Guyton was drafted for, and then also in the center position, and how that would affect the rest of the players on the roster and who's going to step in there. We also do have Cooper Beebe, who we drafted, but we'll talk, you know, he's not in the discussion today, but big ups for him. But here's some clips here of Tyler Guyton facing off against Micah Parsons. And, you know, you guys let me know what you think about this.
Look number at Guyton, 60, right off Tyler the hop, he looks like a pretty big fella.
Big bobblehead on him.
He's got, Turpin in motion. Dak doing the here we go. And so this is Guyton versus Micah?
This is Guyton versus Micah. Micah's coming in off the linebacker as a rusher.
See if Micah tries outside or inside.
Oh, pushed right out. Handled his business.
Nice.
Look how small Micah looks compared to
him. I know. Well,
Guyton looks like a monster.
Well, Micah's undersized anyway. He just gets by on speed.
Yeah,
That's right.
But still, that 6'7 frame there.
And here's a second rep against Micah Parsons.
Okay.
Wow.
Nice.
So
you may have something here.
You know, it looks good. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Order me that jersey in all colors.
But just here's the benefit of that O-line, too, is you have a guy like Micah Parsons, you have a guy like DeMarcus Lawrence, and those are really good caliber players. Mind you, of course, Micah Parsons is definitely in another level, but DeMarcus Lawrence has been a major contributor to the Cowboys' defensive line for years, and you know, hopefully this year as well. But it's a nice, at least we're getting tested against you know, the best, let's say, or that top tier. So it's great to see that Guyton's able to not be just blown up and not getting those first team reps. And so I guess the question here is like, I don't know, Bryson, if you've paid enough attention to Tyler Guyton, but, you know, I'm not going to say that you don't have the answer here. What are your thoughts? Is Guyton impressing so far this training camp, or are you kind of still need to see more? What are your thoughts?
I mean, I definitely need to see more. I don't think you can really judge anybody until the regular season. Yeah. I mean, I remember last year, it was almost immediately that we saw this Puka Nacua kid for the Los Angeles Rams. Like, oh my gosh, he's got 130, 140 yards against the Seahawks, and he kind of rode that to a great rookie season. So, listen, there's a potential he's going to get tested against arguably the best on the other side against Myles Garrett and the Cleveland Browns. So
yes,
right off the bat, it's going to be, you know, he's going to be thrown into the fire against, you know, obviously a great defensive line and a phenomenal defensive player. And throughout the season, I mean, Nick Bosa, TJ Watt, I mean, he's going to be facing some excellent pass rushers next year. So I think just if you see a consistent improvement from kind of what you saw from Tyler Smith a couple of years ago in 2022, just to where you're at the point where the end of the year where he's like, hey, maybe he's maybe a Pro Bowl caliber guy, because we know he's got some pretty big shoes to fill in Dallas. Quite literally, I imagine Ty Smith wears a pretty big shoe.
Yeah, probably size. I'd say minimum size 14 would be on the low end is what I'm guessing.
Easy. No, but listen, the fact that he's holding his own against one of the premier pass rushers in the league is not a negative at the very least. So, again, he's going to get tested right off the bat next year. And, you know, this is iron sharpens iron, as the old saying goes. And so this will be good for him.
Yeah. And I think that the biggest praise here from both of these guys, as Tyler Guyton mentioned in an interview, that he didn't take any vacations, didn't go anywhere, just worked out here with a guy named Duke Manyweather. Now that might seem like a Dungeons and Dragons character.
That's a D&D name. That's an auto-generated Dungeons and Dragon bard name.
Bard, definitely a bard. But he is the O-line expert here, and that's a guy that you want to have around your team. Now, I was always very cautious with Guyton. He would come up. We did a shit ton of mock drafts, and then I did probably 10 times as many sitting on the toilet.
Dropping a deuce is the best time to do a quick seven rounder on PFF.
Quick seven rounds,
full speed,
no trade.
Just I want to hit it legit.
But he was a guy who I always passed on because I was like, right tackle, you know. And this actually really helped me to understand a little bit more about how players can progress. And Tyler Guyton mentioned all I did was work out with Duke Manyweather. and it looks like Cooper Beebe as well. So that's a really big benefit. And if he has progressed as much as he has from, I guess, being drafted to this point, it's great because there's still another, what, month, 5 weeks, like we discussed at the beginning, or 5 weeks to football. How much more can he progress? But the problem with the Cowboys over the last 2 years is they drafted a player in the first round who was, I mean, questionable. I'm not going to say at the time, but Mazi Smith, they drafted him first round last year. He didn't really come into what his expectations were. And now he's kind of put in the place where he has to.
Yeah, he has no choice. He's a starter.
Tyler Guyton also has this a little bit of cushion because they kept Chuma Edoga, and then who's the other?
Awesome
Richards, who was drafted last year in like the sixth round or something like that. So there is some competition there, or some cushioning for that left tackle position. But it is great to see how quickly Guyton has gone from question to now he's performing very well. We'll see how the rest of this training camp plays out and into preseason. But one of the biggest things that we've always had is like your first round pick should 100% be a starter week one. And there was talks about Guyton not even breaking the starting lineup this year.
Not even this year. Like, this was just a couple weeks ago. We were talking, there was reports coming out. And again, no sources, just reports from someone's source that Tyler Guyton might not even pass. He'll be a good player eventually, but in year one, he might not even crack the starting lineup. And it's like, you look at him, I mean, sure, we only watched two plays out of him, but the guy looks the spot. Like, he looks, you put him opposed to the eye test versus Chuma Edoga, and I'm rolling with this guy. Like, he's 6'7", 330 pounds, but he doesn't look like he has an ounce of fat on him.
No. The dude's a brick shit house.
Yeah, okay? He is.
What I actually want to ask you, Bryson, is do the Steelers do this? Okay, I don't pay enough attention. Do the Steelers draft first round picks for third year production?
No, they tend to listen. Pittsburgh's been a really good drafting team over the years. They tend to take a guy and he's on the field week one of the season. To me, projects, unless you're talking about the quarterback position, I don't think you draft a project until like the fifth, sixth, seventh round. Like, you got to be really confident in them. You want a guy like, I know Cincinnati, I forget who they took. I think it was Wims out of Georgia. The kid they took, you know, a guy it's going to take some time for him to really hit. He didn't play much in college. So it's a lot more.
Yeah. He had like eight starts.
Yeah. So
Amarius Mims.
Oh, right. Yeah, but it's much harder to kind of judge that, you know, off of limited tape in college before, you know, obviously stepping foot in the NFL. So, listen, the fact that you have tape on Guyton, the fact that the Steelers have tape in our O-lineman that we drafted in the first round, I think that's most of the great offensive linemen are drafted in the first round historically. And so if you're going to take one, you might as well go right off the bat. So I think if this was going to be what Dallas was wanting to do, I think this was the route to go and going ahead and getting their offensive lineman off the bat, you know, especially when if CeeDee Lamb's not there soon. And I think he'll be there by week one, but with the limited weapons you got there, you better give Dak enough time to give those dudes time to separate, because, you know, it could be a little bit of an issue. But yeah, I think this kid has the upside to hit for sure.
The whole trade kind of made it more palpable because the Cowboys traded back, I think, three spots.
Yeah, they went from 20, I want to say 26 to 29.
And then that allowed us to get an additional third-round pick, which they drafted Cooper Beebe for. So I also agree with you. My cutoff would be fourth round, but if you can push it to fifth round, that'd be great. But your first three picks, 100%, should be guys who you... Well,
your first pick should be starting week one. Your second round pick, okay, he should be at, I'd say, 50 to 70%.
Yep.
And then your third round pick should be a heavy special teams player plus getting in on some snaps on the field. That's just how I feel.
And it's all based off of position of need, too.
Yep, right.
Like, if you have a thin receiving core and you take a guy in the third round, he's probably going to be your number two receiver day one. So it's all circumstantial. It's all based on what these teams need and how they approach the draft.
But, like, the Mazi Smith pick last year and people being like, well, they drafted for 2024. It's like, that doesn't work. You have a team that went 12-5 the prior two seasons. No, you draft to make your team better. the day after the draft. Your team should be better. Not like Mozzie Smith, are they're still the jury's out on Mozzie Smith. Is he going to be that guy? Is he not going to be that guy? The one thing with the Dallas Cowboys, when they draft offensive linemen in the first round, more times than not in the last 10 to 20 years, they've been studs. So we were pretty, I was pretty critical of the Tyler Guyton pick when it first happened. And then I just defaulted to, well, these guys, Dallas Cowboys front office, their draft department, their scouts have been so damn good at picking offensive linemen that I just have to default like the pick.
Yeah.
So.
And it's very similar. Listen, I know there's
Sorry, Bryson. Kind of, crack if you got a crack. AJ got one. I had to get a crack if you got a crack if you got him.
No, I know there was a similar outrage when Tyler Smith was drafted 2 years ago. Like, man, what are they doing? They could use, and again, he's panned out pretty well for them. So,
and he was, Bryson, he was drafted as a left tackle, and now he's become a
stud left guard.
Yeah, stud left guard. So,
all pro left guard.
It wasn't even his natural position, and he's, like you said, he's been great. And so, I will give Dallas that. When it comes to picking O-line in the first round, they very rarely miss, if ever.
Yeah, and, you know, it's the most important position that has the lowest, like, respect, I would say, amongst fans.
No question.
Right? The offensive line can do so much for a quarterback. You look at how fast these quarterbacks have to throw, and the difference between, like, 2.5 seconds versus 3 seconds, which is, you know, try to tell me what a half-second difference is. You wouldn't really know unless you're an NFL quarterback. It's such a huge difference in terms of quality quarterback play.
Sorry,
getting
I got to get that
quick release.
AJ, I got to get this. But I've totally just kind of went away from chat.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
You know, but we're in the zone, baby.
I always tell Ad, if we didn't have Ad here, we would not get engagement because we get too engaged. I'm sorry, but Boots.
Y'all are really struggling right now.
Bot G Eric is with Adam right now in Disneyland, and he said, side bet to consider as next topic, over under on how many Disneyland churros Adam has devoured so far. Over under is 4. What you say? Ads over. 100%.
Definitely.
Ads over 4 churros.
Look, if Adam's, and if the size of the churros in Disneyland are the size of the churros that I'm thinking, if Adam hit over 4, we're going to go down there and he's going to be.
Full day, though.
Full
day. They've been there all day. They've been walking.
I'll tell you this. I was going to say, you burn some calories. We go to Disney World here in Florida. You burn some calories.
You walk. You walk like 30,000 steps. So,
maybe
like,
he's just getting his carbs in.
So, I don't know. Boots, I don't know if you're still on there, but
I say under is,
okay,
under is
under,
like, reasonable. Over 4, that's 5,
oh,
man.
I think it's in the cards, absolutely.
Well, no, he only had to eat 4.5, technically.
True.
He only had 4 in one bite. I'm going over. I'm going to say over, and this is the answer that we're all going to wait for. But, yeah, sorry, I had to get that in there.
I'm going to text Adam and see what the number is.
Yeah.
Oh, Boots
before
is laughing,
you make the bet, get that insider trader information.
Nice.
Right?
We got our own Adam Schefter over there, but with churro eating.
Yeah.
Well,
moving up the ranks, guys.
Look,
critical information.
Look, Bryson, we're excited because we're going to be heading down next week. I mean, I've stopped working now, just thinking about Dallas Cowboys. So no, I still have some tasks to do, but getting really excited. But before we end the show here, is there any sort of pressing? Because we don't do this. And I'm going to pull the curtain back. We don't do this, but Bryson, is there any pressing NFL news in general that comes to mind, a hot topic that you want to throw out there? Because believe it or not, we are football fans as well. So, you know, I'm not going to say that we're going to give you any quality response, but
just that is good.
What else is happening out there in the NFL right now that might be something interesting for us to close on?
Well, I'm a quarterbacks guy, so that tends to be where I lean in terms of following news. The Russell Wilson versus Justin Fields thing in Pittsburgh is fascinating to watch, and kind of what do they opt with, young upside or sort of old reliable. And as far as training camp news, nothing crazy pressing. I know there's been some news with the Jets, Aaron Rodgers, Garrett Wilson. Something that I actually did a segment on my show about this today is, I think it's well within the cards, and I will put this out here today, that Caleb Williams has the greatest rookie quarterback season of all time.
Wow. Really,
I'm putting that out there right now.
Ooh, that is a bold prediction. So, ooh, Bryson, you're in uncharted waters there. That is bold. That is very bold.
Listen, I did a segment on it, and I was looking at kind of the most of the great rookie quarterback seasons have come fairly recently. If you think about, obviously, Dak, Justin Herbert, Russell Wilson, Baker had a good rookie year, Stroud last year, is the average sort of rookie year is about right at 4,000 passing yards, which, by the way, no Bears quarterback has ever done.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Somewhere around like 25, 26 touchdowns and a passer rating at about 95-ish. I don't know if his passer rating feels like it'd be right at that area. But people forget, when you talk about number one overall picks, you automatically assume, oh, terrible team.
Yeah.
Chicago was a 7-win team that got better in the offseason absent Caleb. They retained DJ Moore, but you had Keenan Allen. You drafted Roma Dunze. The defense played much better at the end of the year. You added David Montgomery, who's a good, sort of power back guy.
DeAndre Swift.
Who's that? Oh, DeAndre. I'm sorry, DeAndre Swift. I said Montgomery on my show earlier today. I'm not sure why. DeAndre Swift is
because you love him. So you love him. That's okay.
I'm a Lion. I love the Lions, man. I believe in the Lions in a while. But listen, in terms of their pieces, I like what they have. I don't know if I love Eberflus as a coach, but again, I've folks that have watched my show know I'm as high as anybody in Caleb Williams. I'm not saying he's the second coming of Mahomes. I'm just saying that in 2 or 3 years, he's a top five quarterback in the league. I think he's that good. And I think I think it's well within the realm of possibility he has the best rookie quarterback season ever. So just keep your eye on that.
I like that.
They don't play the Dallas Cowboys this year, but definitely keep your eye on that.
You did say you're high. Anyone that watches your show, they know you're high on Caleb Williams. And anyone that watches our show knows AJ's high on marijuana.
Hey, Megas.
It's legal in Canada.
It's legal in Canada.
Legal in Canada.
It's not a drug. I didn't say he's banging heroin. Spooning heroin. I said he's just smoking a little reefer.
I'm scared of needles, man.
But,
there you go.
You know, if I had to take weed that way, I guess I'd figure it out.
Yeah, just suppository it.
Look, my thoughts on the Bears is like, I love old NFL teams, Steelers included. I hope that Cowboys Nation never has any conflict with those guys because I still...
They do. They do already.
A little bit.
They do.
Well,
like,
once we...
If we get Dak...
Old school, old school, like guys that have been watching for like
sure,
50 yes. years, like the history...
They still think back to like 1975.
Oh, yeah, it was Steelers, yeah. Cowboys, like we're battling. So there's like, because I put out, I forget what I posted, but I said that I had no qualms with the Steelers or something. And you should have seen our comments. I was getting to the Steelers. We hate them. I was like, well, no, I really don't. I've really, only liking the Cowboys for 20 years, I really have not really any ill feelings towards the Steelers.
No, but that, not the Steelers and the Bears here. I like their lineup. I like their offensive lineup. I think it's going to be fun football to watch. And when I, get a chance, the Bears would be on my list of teams that I'm going to want to check out. Obviously, Caleb Williams is that.
He's got to hold it together. He's got to be that catalyst for them.
For sure.
Yeah,
I think he's capable of doing that. I think he's got, in terms of, I don't know if there's anything that he does poorly. Like, he's got the arm. He's got the mobility. He's a good decision maker. He's been fairly healthy throughout his time. Now that it's small sample size at college, but in general, yeah. He has been. I think the only thing I worry about with him is what you see with a lot of quarterbacks like him is when they try to make every play the greatest play of all time. And when sometimes just chuck it out of bounds, live to see another play. That's going to be the thing that he needs to kind of get out of his game. Once he does, I really do think the sky's the limit for him. I think the Bears got a truly special player. So definitely when the Cowboys are not on Sunday Ticket, definitely put on, maybe a Bears-Lions game because that'll be some good football
NFC
to watch.
NFC North.
Final question for you, and this is Steelers related, Bryson.
There we go.
Who is your... I guess the player who you think on the Steelers right now, who's going to have the biggest improvement this season or the biggest, what can you say? Like mark
impact.
For the impact. Yes. Thank you. Thanks for asking my question for me.
Yeah. No problem. I got you. Well, listen, he got hurt the other day. So, and it doesn't sound like it's going to be anything serious. The kid they drafted in the third round, Roman Wilson out of Michigan. I really like that kid. I think he's got the capability of being a really solid number two guy in this league. And I know there's been rumblings about the Steelers being in talks to get Brandon Ayuk, and it's not just because Brandon Ayuk looks like Mike Tomlin's son.
He does. It's very trippy.
The resemblance is uncanny. But no, the kid is a – it's funny. The Steelers had a guy last year in Deontay Johnson who was a productive player, who was a good mm-hmm. player, but was – kind of the big knock on him was he kind of let the circumstances dictate how he played the game. Like, there was a situation where he wasn't getting targets in a game against the Bengals. There's a fumble by, I think, Jalen Warren right at his feet, and he pulls a Cam Newton and doesn't even dive on the ball. Meanwhile, Roman Wilson is like laying out like killer pancake blocks as a receiver in college. Like, he kind of fits that Steeler mold. He's a good route runner, good hands, and a physical player in the run game. So I would say Roman Wilson's the guy to watch if you're a Steelers fan or you know, looking for a Pittsburgh Steeler to break out. That's who I would say.
Well, I will always have a soft spot for the Steelers. That was my dad's like team. He loved them. Nice. So I'm always going to if the Cowboys are ever out of the playoffs. And the Steelers are in, you know, I'm not going to wear the jersey, but I might put.
I can send you like a couple hats or something.
Actually, you know,
Steelers camp thing, can we do that?
Yeah, well, let's talk off camera, okay? I can't put that out there on the air.
Okay, Bryson. Final thoughts. Final. Where can people find you, my guy?
Yes, sir. So you can find me on YouTube, Carving It Up with Bryson Carver. I do a show every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. I don't go live in the morning. I'm not a psychopath. we talk about all sports, obviously a lot of NFL training camp. The Olympics are going on right now, so we're touching on some Team USA men's basketball. We're talking some baseball here from time to time, especially once we get towards the playoffs, some NBA.
Yes, playoffs.
College football, it's everything going on in the world in sports and otherwise. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, check it out. Carving It Up with Bryson Carver. Please subscribe. I'm on Instagram at Carving Up Podcast, Twitter at Carving It Up Pod. So definitely be sure to check out my content. And I always love coming on the show with you guys. I look forward to it every time. And we may have to make this happen like one more time before the season.
Oh, definitely. Yes. I how about we do this the week before kickoff. The week before opening Done. Kickoff. How about Done. Even the Wednesday night before the Thursday night game?
Okay.
Because we will have
we
the main
event. We could
do
the Wednesday
pencil
before
that.
The Thursday night game. And listen, I'm going to have to be – when is that game? I'm going to have to be on y'all's show on August – I'm sorry, on October 6th.
Yes. Oh, definitely. We have to.
Got to make that happen.
Got to make it happen. Hey, Bryson, I know that you deal with a lot of fans that aren't Cowboys fans, and AJ and I got something that you can go tell them. You can tell them to go fuck themselves!
Woo!
Crack 'em if you got 'em. Love you, Bryson.
Crack 'em if you got 'em, baby.
Appreciate it, man.